we open our Bible to the book of John chapter 2, please. And although we're going to also look at chapter 3 to get our exhortation from as well. In verse 23 of chapter 2, it says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did." But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And in 25, "And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He gives emphasis on a man, and like those men who believed on Jesus because of the miracle that he did, a man named Nicodemus in verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, 'Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher came from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.'" Rabbi he called our Jesus Master. "We know that thou art a teacher," he said, "from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." As a Pharisees, it's difficult for them to believe in anything apart from their own belief. They are a master of the law. They live and breathe the law of Moses. Although many of them believe in Jesus is through his miracle, Jesus did not commit because he knew all men. Jesus knew that they don't truly believe in him as the Messiah. They believe in the miracles, but that's it. We know that most of them, if not all, left their own way, left the other way, and left along the way while Jesus is with them. And as we cannot just believe, he said, we have to live it and practice and follow what is said for us. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." A man came to him at night, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, came from God." What relevant is this answer that Jesus made? I think what Jesus is saying that even though we believe, or to Nicodemus, "I know that you believe, Nicodemus, but that is not enough. You have to put meaning into those words." Jesus said, "Except you born again of what? Out of water. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We get to have that total rebirth. Nicodemus answered and said unto Jesus in verse 4, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" I do not think that Nicodemus truly doesn't understand what Jesus is saying. Besides, as we have known that he is a law expert, he must have known his theology or his religion by some extent. I think what he's saying is how we born in some extent is how we are. No one can change what we are. We are born like this. And how can we change? In terms of our family background, how we were raised and how we grew up and our way of life, etc., etc. And this is what the problem to a lot of people nowadays. I will not believe you because you cannot change me because this is who I am. I was born this way. This is how I am. I cannot fundamentally change. So, but Jesus saying, yes, you can. You can change. That is what faith in me means. That is what faith in me all about. Jesus saying you can become a new person, a rebirth from your old ways to a new beginning, a life with Jesus. So Jesus saying, yes, Nicodemus, you can be born again. Let's have a look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If any man be in Christ, he is new creation. Behold, all things become new. This is true when we truly do engage with serious belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Going back to our reading of John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So seeing the kingdom and enter the kingdom is parallel from verse 3. There is a huge spiritual potential to every one of us, but of course it is not just the baptism. By Spirit we also have to practice a new life continuously, living a new life in Christ, the way Christ set before us. His example, by following it, is spiritually in all aspects of our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God's word has the power to radically transform human life to such an extent that we find this rebirth experience. You got to be baptized but that is not enough. There is a process of spiritual rebirth that comes after that, and that is what enable us to see the kingdom, to perceive it, to understand it, and to enter it in prospect. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I think that Jesus is drawing a contrast from belief and unbelief. And in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. So you, Nicodemus, you must be born again, Jesus said. Nicodemus is like the representative of the group of people, of men who had believed because of the miracles Jesus did, but had not really believed the way Jesus wanted them to. So that you, Nicodemus, and your friends, be born of the flesh, must also be born of spirit, and must be born again. Verse 11, verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Being born again, they see the kingdom. And Jesus said, we testify what we have seen. Those truly born again will testify of their experience. And that is the sound of the wind blow in verse 8. We read, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And if we we have this hope of the kingdom, we will testify of it. If we believe the truth, we cannot keep it to ourselves, and that has to be spoken of. That has to be preached about the good news of the kingdom. In verse 12, if I have told you earthly things, ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Although Nicodemus believes through miracle, thinking from earthly things, and Jesus saying, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? They only seen the miracles, and he thinks they seen everything, and they think, and Nicodemus thinks he believes, but actually he don't believe. Jesus said, it is not just believing in my miracles, there's more to it. Jesus seems being rude, but Jesus really wants to save Nicodemus. And verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. It is a very difficult verse, but what Jesus is saying here is, he alone as the Son of God is the only one who is born of the Spirit, because Mary his mother was conceived by the Holy Spirit. I think he's saying, if you believe in me and not just my miracle, that is when you truly believe and be born in spirit. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It is just like the Israelites when they sinned against God and repent. Moses lifted up a fiery serpent upon a pole. When they looked at it, the venom that is raising up within their blood, and they're going to die, stream shall be healed and leave. So Jesus is saying that in the same way I will be lifted up in a pole. He's talking about the crucifixion. And those who look upon me there, and of course believe, shall live and have eternal life. We are all like the Israelites in the wilderness who were bitten by the snakes, bitten by sin. And we have to drag ourselves into a position where we can see and look to him in faith and say with confidence, yes, I believe. The word that was used in the Old Testament, Paul, is the same word used or translated as ensigned. The idea was something was lifted up. Remember when the people of Israel, through their wilderness journey, when they wanted to move forward following their camp around their ensign, a pole with some picture of, or a symbol on it. So we are also in our wilderness journey. We are walking through the wilderness following this pole. Just like in our walking, in our journey, in our daily lives, Christ in his spirit of dying is our guide, our motivation, and our inspiration as our Savior. We have to ask ourselves, how can this decision of mine, how can this way of life, how can this attitude to life be influenced by him? So in his time of dying, are we following the pole looking at it? Or are we carrying the cross? The way we act, the decision we make, the way I treat my brethren and sisters, the way we think about them in our disposition. The real faith is looking at Jesus in his time of dying, and believe that Jesus can give us eternal life that is to be paralleled to being born again, being born of water and of the Spirit, seeing him, there on the cross and saying, yes, I will identify myself with him there by being born of water and being baptized and being spiritually reborn by trying to do our best to live our lives following what Jesus did for us and his example. 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is not a case of seeing miracles and wonders, feeding people, healing, and being vaguely, impressed and considering that I have some sort of belief now. I've seen the miracles. I've seen Jesus. It's not like that. Jesus is saying it's about believing in me, crucified, and all that stood for, and you will live forever, he said. Then he goes by saying, with some wonderful words of comfort in verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This word by Jesus is so positive in all our weakness. We all fear condemnation, of course. We fear failure because that's how we have been socialized. We cannot fail in front and be known to others. That's how we are. But God is not like that. God is not trying to cut us out and on our failure or on our mistake or our weaknesses. The whole wonderful purpose of him giving his Son to die is so that we might be saved. God wants us to save us, die, is so that we might be saved and give us the kingdom. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We see the magnitude of God's love to give you the kingdom. We see the magnitude of God's love to us. The huge sacrifice of a father to a son, giving his Son, a huge pain to God as a father to sacrifice your own son to die. It is a huge emotional investment that God went through in the death of Jesus. Imagine if it's your son going to die. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He goes more on positively, saying Jesus is saying the only people who are going to be condemned are those who condemn themselves. Those who heard Jesus or the word of God preached to them and doesn't want all these wonderful promises and blessings or salvation that Jesus promised and made available to all of us. But if we, despite all this, you said no, it says in verse 18, we are already condemned. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Jesus said, light has come into the world. Again, this is something significant to Jesus, being the light, like a torch or a pole, with something flammable burning on top of it. And that was light, certainly, to the people who heard Jesus speaking, and to us who read and heard the Word of God or the Bible being preached to us. And so he's not just spoken about himself as the snake that was lifted up on the pole and the thought continued. He now uses another figure and says he is the light or the torch that come into the world, and also mentioned here in John elsewhere that he is the light of the world. The idea, a piece of wood and on top of it a light, something burning, a fire, a flame, and that's how he represents himself on the cross, that to us a light. A burning light that gives us warm and gives us giving light, and all our understanding of light is to be in the light of, in the context of him there on the cross. His salvation, his forgiveness of me or you, his forgiveness of all the people, that is the light. Pure grace that God could give his only begotten Son, that God so loved the world in this manner, he loved the world, that that grace, that endless mercy and desire to save others, to share with you and me and all the wonderful plans that God has laid to us. That is the light of our life to live up to. Though people don't like that, we read in verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Men doesn't like that. People prefer darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. People do bad things. They don't like the light. They don't want to come to the light, lest their deed should be reproved. This is why when we break bread and drink wine in memory of Jesus, we are to examine ourselves. But it's not so much a command, because it seems like quite naturally for us thinking about Jesus there in the fall will come to us naturally, a self-examination of our life. Our works are wrought in God or not. Self-examination when we think deeply on what happened to him, when we meditate. It's hard sometimes to think for ourselves or examine ourselves. Have I lived up to Jesus' expectations? Have I done enough? Have I really pushed myself to be different and live up for my old ways? We don't like to look inside ourselves because we may see a lot. We may see things that are not so good. It is difficult until we come to reflect upon him on the cross. Imagine him there on the cross. He's dead. And we quite naturally, what we should and what we should not be doing. That is why it is so important and so precious time for us to be here every Sunday to meet together. Though we can reflect as often as we can personally, reflecting as we, you know, we're on our own, or we lay down in bed at night if we are alone, whatever, and we're on our own. That's time to reflect, to think about him there. In Luke chapter 2 in verse 35, he's telling us about the piercing of the Son of God. Luke chapter 2 in verse 35. "Yea, a sword shall pierce through my own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." It is telling us about the piercing of the Son of God. Simeon is so perceptive that in the piercing of the Son of God, the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Seeing and thinking Jesus there on him suffering at Gethsemane after the cross, our thoughts and our hearts is revealed. This is why those who witnessed the crucifixion of the Lord smote their breasts as they walked away. Maybe a lot of them repented, realizing this man is so honest, so true and perfect, but being falsely accused to suffer and die a sinless man. They all left beating upon their breasts. As the centurion said, surely this was a righteous man. So may all of us in our own little own way, on whatever situation we may have, we are all faced with the same cross, with the same Son of God hanging upon the pole. And we are faced with the same challenge that we can be now born again. We can be born from above and both see God's kingdom and enter into it.